بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salat and salam be upon the noble Prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. This is chapter 7 in the book of Tawheed, and this is entitled, and it is number 19 in the series. It is entitled من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو دفعه. To wear a ring, twine, or anything similar to them for prevention or lifting of harm or affliction is an act of shirk, act of prescribing partners to Allah. This is the title of the chapter. Now to the discussion, that these actions are from shirk, and the term shirk covers both the minor and the major. And wearing these things, twine or the like, or the ring, or anything similar to it, for prevention or lifting of harm or affliction, this could be from the minor shirk, and it also could be from the major shirk, depending upon the conviction of the one who wears these things, Now, why these are considered from shirk? It is because anyone who affirms a cause which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate as a cause, neither by way of legal legislation or by the pre-decree, by the universal legislation, then in this case, he has made of himself a partner with Allah. Take for example, reciting the Fatiha, reciting the opening chapter of the Quran. This is a legal cause for healing. Meaning, it is prescribed for healing. So Allah had set it as a legal cause. This is a type, an example on a legal cause. On the other hand, taking a medicine that stimulates, for example, diarrhea. This is considered a universal type. Why? Because it is known through experience. And people regarding this matter are on two extremes and a middle one. People regarding this matter, meaning regarding the causes, are on two extremes and on a middle course. The first, there are those who deny the causes. And these are the ones who negate the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Jabriya sect, Jabriya, those who say that man is compelled, that man has no choice. And also the Ash'arites, who negate the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behind the causes. This is the first extreme. The second extreme those who exaggerate in affirming the causes. Those who exaggerate in affirming the causes to the degree that they may assign something to be a cause when in reality it is not a cause. And these are the people of Sufism in general and the like. These are the people of mystic Sufism who don't consider the causes at all, or rather those who assign something to be a cause when it is not a cause. And these are the mystic Sufis and the like. The third, those who believe in the causes and their effects. Those who believe in the causes and their effects, but they don't affirm from the causes except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger affirm, and whether the cause is a legal one or a universal one. And this belief is the belief of the believers, those who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who believe in His wisdom, because they linked the causes with their effects and also with the wisdoms behind them. Now, wearing the ring and the like, if the person believes that wearing them is because they have on their own, they have influence on their own, independent from Allah, then the one who believes as such, then he is a mushrik, committing the major shirk regarding the singling Allah alone in lordship. Because in this case, he is believing as if there is a creator besides Allah. As if there is a creator besides Allah. And that's which is manifested by him believing that wearing such thing on its own, independently, can have influence, independently from Allah. Then this is committing major shirk that takes the person out of the fold of Islam. On the other hand, if he believes that they are a cause, but it has no effect on its own, then in this case, he is committing minor shirk. Why? Because he is believing something to be a cause when it is not a cause. So here he associates with Allah in ruling that this thing is a cause, and Allah did not make it a cause. Now, how do we know that something is a cause and something is not a cause? This is by, number one, either by way of Sharia, by the revelation. For example, take the honey. The honey, we know it is a cause, a legal cause, because Allah stated about it in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 69. قال الله تعالى, describing the honey, فيه شفاء للناس. فيه شفاء للناس. Wherein is healing for men. Then eat
of all fruits and follow the ways of your Lord made easy for you. This is the bee, about the bees. There comes forth from their bellies a drink of varying color. فيه شفاء للناس, wherein is healing for men. Verily, and this is indeed a sign for people who think. Also, like recitation of the Quran is a healing. This is a legal cause, because Allah had made it so, as a legal cause. We read the evidence in Surah Al-Isra in chapter 17, verse 82. قال الله تعالى وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we send down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe in Tawheed. And it increases the polytheists and the wrongdoers nothing but loss. So this is the first way, by way of revelation. This is the legal way. The second is by way of pre-decree, the universal. Aspect. Like, if we come to use something and we find it useful and beneficial in dealing, in healing such and such disease, with the condition that the effect should be apparent and directly apparent. So this becomes an apparent manifested cause. Why did we condition this to be apparent and direct? Lest someone says, I have tried such and such thing and it benefited me, though it was not direct. For example, like the ring. Someone may put the ring on and believing that it is beneficial. Now, he may benefit because of the al-infi'al al-nafsi, because of the psychological aspect within himself regarding such a thing. And it may happen that someone may recite Quran on an ill person and the person does not feel comfortable towards him. Another one may come and this ill person believes that the recitation of such person now, the reciter's recitation is beneficial, so he recites upon him the same verses. And he feels comfortable and feels that the pain is less. Similarly are those who wear these things, the ring and the twine and the like. They may feel that the pain is diminished or repelled or lifted because of their belief that these things are beneficial. Such a diminution of pain with those who believe such things, this is a psychological feeling. And such a psychological feeling is not a legal way to affirm that these things are causes. Now, he said, the author rahimahullah, that wearing a ring and the twine. The ring, this could be from a metal like iron or gold or silver or the like. And the twine or the thread is known. And the like someone making a form, something in a certain form, made of, like for example, copper, in order to repel or repulse afflictions. Or someone putting on himself parts, some parts of animals. Or some people putting old water skins on their cars in order to repulse the evil eye. All of this is from shirk. And the author said concerning using it in order to lifting of harm or affliction. The difference between رفع البلاء أو دفعه, lifting affliction or repulsing it, is that the lifting is after the affliction takes place, and repulsing is before it takes place. Anyone who believes in these things, he could fall in major shirk or minor shirk or minor shirk, depending upon his or her conviction regarding these so-called causes. Then the author recited the following as evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah. We begin with the verse which he cited as evidence. This is from Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 38. قال الله تعالى قل أفرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله قل أفرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضره. Say, tell me then, the things that you invoke besides Allah, if Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove this harm? So here Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ, it means أَخْبِرُونِي, tell me. The things that you invoke besides Allah, the invocation here refers to the invocation of request and also of ibadah, of worship, the invocation of worship, because you know that invocation is of two types, an invocation of request and invocation of ibadah, of worship. So those referred to in this verse, they invoke their idols and their images, an invocation of worship. And so they offer the sacrifices and make the vows and slaughter and prostrate to these idols and bow to them. Not only that, but also they invoke an invocation of request in order to repulse a harm or bring a benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if Allah intends harm upon a slave, to inflict harm upon a slave, then these idols cannot do anything to remove it or to stop it. And if Allah intends mercy upon the slave, these idols cannot stop his mercy reaching them. So why then you resort to them and worship them? So these cannot repel nor lift harm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of this verse, 39-38, the next statement please. قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Say, suffice is Allah. Sufficient for me is He. None is sufficient for me except Allah. And there is a benefit here. When you say hasbi Allah, it's different from saying Allahu hasbi. There's a difference between the two. Because when you say hasbi Allah, sufficient for me is Allah, this means no one else could be sufficient for me. But if you say Allahu Hasbi, then there is no particularization, singling Allah alone in being the one sufficient for you. Then Allah says, عليه يتوكل المتوكلون. In him those who trust, meaning the believers, must put their trust, meaning the one who truly depends upon Allah puts his trust in him alone. As to those who put their trust in the idols and in the graves and in the their so-called awliya, whom they consider as having special relation with Allah, then these people are not really dependent upon Allah. They are not putting their trust in Allah. Of course, here it is to be mentioned that having trust only in Allah does not negate that the fact may that a person may depute someone to carry for him a certain task and depend upon him to execute that. This is okay. This is not what is negated here, because here you are depending on someone to carry on a task which you had assigned for him. However, your dependence and trust in Allah, you know then from that it is in the hands of Allah. All matters are in the hands of Allah. In His hand is the benefit and in His hand is the harm. And that you are in a state of humility to Him alone, in humbleness, depending upon Him, the one in need. You are in need of Him, assigning your affairs to Him. This is the meaning of putting trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depending upon Him. So what is the evidence from this ayah which the author cited? What is the evidence from this ayah which the author cited concerning those whom people invoke besides Allah? Meaning this ayah, that this emphasizes that these asnam, these idols, are of no benefit to those who resort to them. Neither it can repel or repulse harm nor bring benefit. So therefore they are not causes. And therefore, accordingly, every other thing which is taken as a cause without a legal evidence or a universal evidence, then it is not a cause, and taking it as such is considered shirk. And this, really using this verse to deduce this benefit, tells the ability of the author rahimahullah in deducting, his power in deduction of the meaning. Because the analogy here is very clear. These asnam, these idols, are not asbab, are not causes, not beneficial causes. There is another evidence here also, in the same verse, in the saying, Hasbi Allah, sufficient Allah is for me. Here, the person is assigning the sufficiency to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to these causes. Because these are really illusions, not realities. As to the real causes, taking by the real causes that are approved to be causes does not negate the dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are from Him. These causes are from Allah, and taking by them is taking something which Allah has legislated. So taking by such causes and such means, therefore, that are legalized by Allah does not negate the dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the author rahimahullah cited the hadith of Imran bin Husayn, may Allah be pleased with him, where he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man with a brass ring on his hand. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What is this?" The man replied, "Min al-wahina," to overcome weakness. This is used, I'm using it to overcome weakness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, commanded him, "Inza'ha," remove it. "فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَزِيدُكَ إِلَّا وَهْنَا," for it can only add to your weakness. "فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ مُتَّ وَهِيَ عَلَيْكَ مَا أَفْلَحْتَ أَبَدًا." Should death overtake you while you are wearing it, you would never succeed. So here he said, this man, I put it to overcome weakness, a weakness that may weaken the body of the person, like a pain in the arm or the upper shoulder, and it could be also in the entire body. So it may be in the entire body or maybe in one part of the body. So this man was wearing this brass ring to overcome the weakness according to his conviction. Here the Prophet ﷺ told him, if you die, should death overtake you while you are wearing it, you would never succeed. Success, you would never succeed. What is success? Success is deliverance from what is feared and occurrence of what is sought. This is the meaning of success. This hadith is very related to this chapter, perfectly related to this chapter, because this man put on the brass ring either to repulse affliction or to lift it. This hadith tells also of several benefits from them. Number one, the person who intends to forbid the wrong must ask about the condition first, because he may end up considering something wrong when it is not wrong. What is the evidence from the hadith? The evidence for this from the hadith is because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma hadhihi?" He exclaimed, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to know, what is this? And this is not as a denunciation. It is not as a denunciation, but to know. So the man answered, it is from al-wahina, to overcome weakness. So now it became evident to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam why he is using the brass ring. The second benefit, the obligation to remove the munkar, what is wrong. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in za'ha, remove it. He commanded him to remove it, because wearing it is munkar, is wrong. And this is supported by the second statement when the Prophet ﷺ told him, إِنَّهَا لَا تَزِيدُكَ إِلَّا وَهْنَا, for it can only add to your weakness. Weakness in himself mentally and also in his body as well. As to the mental or psychological weakness, it is because if the man is becomes clinged to these things, it weakens the determination of the self, and the self will turn dependent upon these things and will forget and neglect even the dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the psychological impact and the psychological influence has a profound, or is profound rather, in weakening the person. Because sometimes the person may be under the delusion. The one whose health is good begins to think that he is ill, and thus he becomes ill. And sometimes the person forgets the illness while he is ill and becomes healthy. So such psychological interactions of the self has profound influence. And that's why you see some of those who may be suffering from psychological illnesses, you will find that the origin for their illness is the weakness of the self from the very beginning. To the extent that the person becomes to think that he is ill with such and such, and therefore the delusion will take over until it becomes a reality. So this person who put on the brass ring, Prophet ﷺ made it clear that he is thinking that it will help him to overcome weakness, and Prophet ﷺ asserted him it will increase his weakness, because he is going to believe that as long as he is wearing it, then he is safe. And if he takes it off, then the weakness will come over him. And this is without doubt, and it is certain that this is from the weakness of the self. The third benefit: causes taken as causes without proof from the Sharia, from revelation, or through experience, then they are not beneficial to men. And we talked about the experience must be with the conditions that apparent and direct. Remember this in the beginning. Fourth benefit: that wearing the ring and the like to repulse the affliction or lifting it is from shirk. How this is deducted from the hadith? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو مت وهي عليك ما أفلحت أبدا. Should death overtake you while you are wearing it, you would never succeed. And the negation of success is evidence for loss. Now, is this shirk major or minor? This depends, as it was explained earlier. It depends on the conviction of the person. Second, third, works at the end are of high importance. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ مُتَّ وَهِيَ عَلَيْكَ, if you die, should death overtake you while you are on it, then it means that if he abandons this before death, it will not harm him. Because the person, if he repents before he dies, it is like he had no sin. This brings the end of this discussion, which is still in chapter 7, and we will continue inshallah in the next discussion, taking the other evidences and the points of benefit from this chapter, inshallah ta'ala, in the next time. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon the author, rahimahullah, and upon our Shaykh, rahimahullah, for his discussion, and to make of this a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.